Happy Halloween, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Puck and Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
I'm Freddy Krueger.
Part of me is wondering if you are, in fact, Brandon, just because of the getup you've got going on. Tomorrow, in fact, is Halloween, for those of you who are wondering, because you're watching this after Halloween, but for us, tomorrow is Halloween. I love the outfit. I love it. Well,
it's very
hair.
Simple.
Yeah, it's very simple.
It's very 80s.
I was going to joke and say something along the lines of, have you done something different with your hair? But
yeah, well, I mean, you might get to see my other hair shortly because this is incredibly hot.
Yeah,
and
I believe it.
Incredibly uncomfortable. I don't know how women do it with like faced hair randomly touching their faces. Who's doing that?
This all the time?
Don't touch me!
I'd be worried about how itchy it gets too.
It's very itchy.
Yeah.
Try not to think about it. So keep us distracted here today, Joe.
Well, gentlemen, we have a lot to celebrate. You know, it wasn't that long ago where we were talking about the Toronto Blue Jays potentially just getting taken out of the ALCS. And here we are, one win away from the World Series. What do you think? How do you feel? These are two people, specifically one who has seen them win the World Series. You've seen them win the World Series, but you don't remember it. How do you feel?
I don't even know if I didn't see them at all.
Yeah.
In our household, my dad's a Pittsburgh Pirates fan.
Oh.
So he probably didn't give a crap about the Jays run in 92 and 93, right? But it's like, I try to think back. So I was six, and I can't recall any hype or anything about it at all. And I mean, I was already playing like minor league softball at that point. So I mean, I was involved with a variation of the sport in my own life. But I don't recall it at all. And I mean, if I'm being honest, as a disgruntled lifelong Leafs fan, this is the first time that I'm actually seeing a team that and a sport that I really do consistently follow in a championship series. I followed the Raptors in 2019, don't get me wrong, but it was more like a casual fan. I like basketball a lot. I understand it. I know a lot about it, but I don't really, it's not something that I would watch every single game of. Whereas the Leafs and the Jays, as an example, I hardly miss a game for either.
Mm-hmm.
So and I've always been a big time ball guy. I explain to people all the time, and they're like, "Well, how can you like baseball but you hate football?"
Yeah,
and I said I find football boring, but I find baseball fascinating.
And it's interesting because, you know, I used to say the same thing about baseball. Like, I used to say baseball was boring. And, I mean, I probably still won't sit back and watch the regular season. That's a lot of games to watch. But, you know, I will admit, playoff baseball is very exciting, especially when the team you're cheering for is going the distance, right?
Yeah.
And it does bring to mind, you know, I think about, like, my son, for example, who is very new to sports in general, let alone, you know, supporting baseball, supporting football, supporting hockey, any of those things. We watched the Abbotsford Canucks win the Calder Cup Championship. And my wife and I are in the living room celebrating the Calder Cup Championship celebration. We're just cheering up and down. And my son's in the bedroom watching it, and he's crying because he's excited. He's so excited that he's in tears. This is a team he's been following for like 6 months. But he's that devoted to them. And I think that's kind of the perfect picture of what sports is. When you're, you know, when you give your heart to someone, whether it's a team or, you know, a relationship or whatever, it's like, it's that much more fulfilling when they win the championship. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when they lose, that your heart breaks that much more, you know.
Something you'll never forget either way.
Exactly.
Yep.
And, you know, as a 7-year-old boy, it's like, I remember when Vancouver lost the Stanley Cup final in 94, and I was 12, and I cried my eyes out because it was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That's the exact opposite, right? So I was so happy that he got to see that and sort of get the opposite effect. And you are going to get to, hopefully, get to see. I don't want to speak too soon. We are, you know, a day before game six, but, you know, you might have the opportunity to sort of finally see something that you've been hoping to see your whole life.
I hope so. How are you feeling about the whole situation?
Well, you know, I was happy to see a championship, obviously, back in 2019.
Back-to-back championships.
Well, obviously, I'm talking about
2019, sorry.
Yeah, 2019 Raptors. Yeah, I got to see the, obviously, the 92 and 93 World Series wins, but as an adult, right, it's a little bit different experience compared to kids, like you're saying, you know, your kid kind of cries.
Yeah.
Noah, when I was watching a couple of the games this past week, you know, he was paying attention to his tablet because he didn't give a crap that, you know, the baseball game was on. But anytime he saw me cheer, he's like, "Are they winning, Dad?" I'm like, "Yeah, they are." He's like, "Yes, good job." You know, like he was all excited about it.
Yeah.
And 2019, while it was so awesome for the Raptors to win that series. If you look at the differences between, I guess, kind of this team and, say, the 2019 Raptors team, the Golden State Warriors were missing Kevin Durant for a good portion of that series, and he was in for a game, got injured, and then done. And that kind of played a part in them winning that game, that series, because, you know, Golden State was missing one of their two best players of the entire team. You look at the Blue Jays.
I was going to say, to be fair, I mean, the Blue Jays are dealing with their own injuries exactly. Right now.
Look at the Blue Jays. He had Bo Bichette pretty much gone almost the entire playoffs up until this World Series, and he did miss a game.
Yeah.
And they're playing against a fully loaded Dodgers team and showing their worth. And it's that much more exciting because you're seeing the perseverance that this team drove themselves with for the season, and it's happening in the postseason, and they're not even so much that they're playing well, they're dominating the games that they're winning, kind of thing.
Yeah, one of the things that I was listening to some of the sports talk today, and they were talking about how the Blue Jays, not only are they winning the games against the Dodgers, they're winning by a big margin. And the games that the Dodgers have won have been very close. And you know, you think of the game that went to 18 innings, I mean, that they literally were a point away from three in a row in LA, which is pretty crazy to think about, right?
I didn't miss a pitch that game, and boy, was I cranky the next
day. I bet, yeah. I stayed up to watch it, too. I was lucky, though, in that I didn't have to work till 1:30 in the afternoon the next day. Nice. So I just happened to swap shifts with somebody. But, yeah, that's definitely it's really interesting when you compare the two teams right now and how the Blue Jays went into this series as the underdogs. Based on stats, right? Based on what everybody was predicting.
Again, you look at the basically perennial finalist in the Dodgers almost every year that they seem to be going, right? So to be pushing them to this extent, and they're the former winners. So, you know, it's exciting to watch. I have nothing to complain about. Just besides being up till midnight watching that.
Yeah.
That two-in-one game.
By the way, 3 o'clock in the morning, Toronto time, right?
Yeah.
People stay up to watch that and have to work the next day.
They kept the stadium open in Toronto because they had a watch party.
Yeah.
And they flashed back, and and not just kids either. There was adults that were like zonked out in between innings, you know, that sort of thing.
But I mean, even in LA, people were leaving the stadium because it was getting too late. Yeah. You know, you would say about a quarter of the people that were there were gone by the time that last home run was hit.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting to see how sports affects people, you know, in a lot of different ways. But, you know, the fact that, you know, goes that long.
Look at Eric Lauer. Like, he was already showing his worth in the regular season. He really showed his worth in that game. Like, that game kept going because of him. I have to be a little down on Schneider for that game, because I really didn't like some of the substitutions he made. I understood the reasoning for the substitutions, you know, the speed, replacing Kirk with Heinemann, stuff like that. Just a game that tight, I still would have kept it running till he got to extra innings and then start switching players out, but I thought he did it a little too early.
I saw somebody on Twitter with a take that I'm not sure I would have really thought of, but when I saw it, I went, actually, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And the take was, the Dodgers should be completely embarrassed that it took 18 innings to win against that team that night.
I think I really think it just goes to show that the Dodgers and their fans really underestimated what Toronto actually is capable of doing.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see that their defense is able to hold up to the defense that Dodgers are bringing. And of course, their offense as well, doing the same thing. When you look at the wins that Toronto's had against the Dodgers, it's like there's no comparison between the two, you know?
Yeah.
Yusavage. Let's talk about Yusavage here. I mean, this is a rookie who literally came into the league, what?
6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
6 weeks ago. He was playing in Vancouver not long ago.
Yeah.
Comes to Toronto, and he just impresses from the get-go. And here he is pitching in the World Series. And 12 strikeouts in one game and no walks, which is a record. Not just for rookies, but period. For pitching. in the major leagues, which is incredible.
For the World Series, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Which is incredible. When you think about the history of Major League Baseball.
76-year difference from the last rookie that did something like that.
Yeah.
That's wow. That I didn't know. That is crazy.
It is crazy. It is really crazy when you think about it. And it's awesome. Like, it's really, you know, it's awesome that this is the team that you cheer for, that, you know, you've got this guy now who was picked 20th overall in the first round.
Yeah.
And everybody passed on him. And then here's the Blue Jays picking him up. And they're so lucky to have the guy that they have. And I saw Schneider said in an interview that, you know, originally when he came to the team, it was because they just wanted to bolster the amount of, you know, options that they had in the bullpen. And here's this guy that just basically blows everybody away.
He's got really good stuff.
Yeah.
Like the pitches that he uses, his splitter is phenomenal. And like we talked about it a few episodes ago about the arm angle.
Yeah.
And how he comes through. It's so deceptive, right?
Yeah.
And for people that have not seen him much, it's a weapon.
Yeah.
It's a complete weapon. Now, that's not saying that if he's in the rotation next year, he may not be as successful.
True.
Because teams are going to see him more.
Yeah.
But ride the wave, you savage.
Wins you a championship, what do we care, really,
that's
right?
That's right.
And honestly,
it's not like he's going to turn into a bad pitcher. No. It's just he may not have the success he's having right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I loved John Schneider's comment when they got past the sixth and going to the seventh, and he's like, I'm not sure if we have a better reliever than New Savage right now. He's got to stay in.
Yeah.
Well, it was...
Yeah,
he's impressed by it. I love when New Savage is going into the tunnel and they're all giving him a hug. Schneider's like, yeah, man.
You know, I know. It was really cool.
Scherzer's going nuts on him.
And I think, honestly, that's a perfect example of like what this team is capable of doing. So like the way I see it, and again, this is somebody who, you know, really didn't follow the team until this playoffs. But like the way I see it, win or lose, these guys are the exemplary team to follow. You know, if you're on the outside looking in and you have a baseball team, you want to follow what they're doing and you want to build something based on that.
Yeah.
Whether they win or lose, I think that they are the team to follow for sure. Yeah.
Now, we had talked about how we loathed some of the opinions and reactions from the Yankees fans in that series. I didn't really see anything out of Mariners fans.
Yeah.
Specifically, I'm talking on X, Twitter.
Yep.
It's I spend a lot of time on that. A lot of my free time on there. I love that app. But we kind of loathed some of the stuff we heard from the Yankees. And, you know, there is that one guy... I'm not even going to mention who it was. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But he called you Savage a bum kind of thing, right? And you know, this guy's pitched two games and we're going to get him. And, yeah, well, not happening. The other thing I saw the other day that kind of irked me a little bit, and I thought it was funny, is there was a Dodgers fan, and it wasn't just a Dodgers fan, but it was like a Dodgers beat reporter.
Mm.
Like, he's not like an MSNBC host or anything like that, but he's like the equivalent of like The Athletic for the NHL. Like a renowned blog,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah,
he's a blogger, I guess, verified, all that stuff. And he said, "There's no way we can let this team beat us. A team from Canada has no right beating us at our own game."
I think I saw
kind of thing. Or yeah. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. And my first thought was, this guy doesn't know jack shit about the history of baseball.
Yeah,
ooh.
Came from the UK.
Yeah.
As for people that are like, oh, no, that's America's pastime. No.
No,
no, not so much. Not so much. Sorry. Sorry to tell you, mate.
But I mean, it's no different than us saying, you know, the Canadians saying, like, the American teams have no right beating us at hockey.
Well, for sure.
But it happens because, you know, people play this sport their entire life. They're allowed to get good at it.
And not like it matters. There isn't a single Canadian that plays on the Blue Jays. Exactly. So really, what difference does it make where there's...
Yeah.
Flatty.
Oh, okay. Technically.
He was born in Canada.
Sure enough. Fair enough. Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Mom got on a plane the next day to the Dominican Republic. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we are grateful to have Laddie on our team.
Thank
right?
you, sir.
Yeah.
Bobo.
But I mean, you know, it's incredible when you look at the team. Because, like, I compare, say, the Dodgers to Toronto. And the Dodgers have kind of one big player in Ohtani. I mean, they've got a lot of players, but they've got one.
They got several Hall of Famers.
But they've got one big player, the player that most people are scared of. Are scared of, and that's Ohtani. Yeah. But you look at the Blue Jays, and they've got, you know, I look at last game, for example, and the first three pitches are home runs, basically. Well, it took two three pitches three. To get two home runs. You know, And the second one, of course, is Vladdy, who has how many home runs now this postseason?
No,
I think it's eight,
I think
right?
It's like nine, actually. After
eight
last
or
game.
Nine. You know, I remember hearing eight at one point, but it could be nine. So you look at that guy. There's one dangerous weapon, and then you've got Yesavage now, who's an incredible pitcher. That's defense. That's a huge weapon on defense. You've got so your fielders, for example, Barger is an incredible fielder, like incredible.
Yeah.
You know, makes that diving catch in, I want to say like something like the sixth or seventh inning yesterday. Just incredible. You know, I could go on and on, but
Varsho, Schneider.
Yeah, Varsho, like Varsho's, how many home runs does he have so far this
four or five,
or postseason?
I mean, I actually think Barger's a better third baseman than he is an outfielder.
I actually, as somebody, again, who just started following them, Barger's actually my favorite player.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He really is.
He's like that grand slam that he hit was incredible in game one.
He's what you call a ball player. There was a play the other night that doesn't really get enough credit.
They talked about it on the radio today.
Yeah. So there was a play where there was a potential throw out at second base.
That's right.
And it was a tag up play.
Yeah.
And Barger was on third, he tagged up and he ran as hard as he could to home plate. If the throw came into second, that and the runner at second would have been called out, if Barger hadn't have been hustling, that run wouldn't have counted.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, that's just one example. Every hit he makes, he flies out of the box. Like, he's just what they would call like an old school ball player, like a guy who's meant for the game.
There was a play yesterday where I believe he hit it to, it was like just past third base or something, where it was an easy play where it basically made him get out. He hit the ball to make it so that he gets out so that the guy on second could get to third. And I think it was to third, so the play was actually to first. I can't remember, but it was an intentional play that basically allowed the guy to be in scoring position. And I think that was the point of it, right? And just watching that go down, you're like, these guys know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing all the right things. So it's a combination of these guys being smart players, but also I think they're being coached properly. I think that they are playing as a team, you know, like these are the things that they're doing, and it's beating the Dodgers in every aspect, defense and offense. So yeah. I'm really, really excited to see what can happen tomorrow.
Yeah, when Atkins and Shapiro were brought in, and they really wanted to focus on defense, I was happy with the idea of better defense because the Jays weren't really well known for a defensive team. But, you know, they sacrificed giving up Teoscar Hernandez, Gurriel, and so on to bring in more defense. Got Varsho in, got, you know, some extra pitching help. That first year was horrendous for them. You know, they had a plan. They stuck to it. I was critical of that plan for the last couple of years. And, you know, I'm happy to be wrong.
I was going
to
say it's good to be wrong
in
that scenario.
Happy to be wrong because, you know, we're one win away from being the baseball champions that since the last time they won it 32 years ago.
So. 32 years, and here we are. Yeah.
So I just had a point about Vladdy real quick I wanted to touch on that I just saw this little note I thought was interesting. So, so far this postseason, Vladdy has 27 hits and 54 total bases, and this is in 16 games so far. The record is 29 hits and 64 total bases, and it was done by Randy Arozarena in 2020.
Right.
And it was done in 20 games.
Okay.
So, technically, if Vlad gets three more hits in the next... Oh, man. I don't want to really say that, but next game. Next game. Not in the next two, but next game.
Yeah, yeah.
He could have the greatest offensive October ever.
Yeah.
In baseball history. Like, that's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. So, I didn't realize he was that good. Like, he has had that good of a postseason.
I have a feeling. So tomorrow is game six in Toronto. I have, and it's also Halloween, mind you. So those of us who have kids, are going to have a hard time not sticking to our phones, watching the game, or like loading up the scores or whatever as we go trick-or-treating with our kids. Or trick-or-treating will be done by 6 p.m. Probably. It really just, you know, for me, I'm unfortunately going to be busy. I have to work at Clippers game tomorrow. So I will be focusing on the Clippers game and also checking for updates as I go. I'm really hoping that I get to announce that the World Series champions tomorrow. That'd be really cool.
Fun.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do what we're going to do our regular thing with the fire pit and the door open and the lights going and stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll have the Jays game on the big TV. I said to Tiff, I said, I bet you anything we're going to have parents stay a little bit longer.
You're probably the best. Yeah,
you go to that house over there. Yeah, yeah, go to that. I'll catch up. I just have a feeling.
That would be cool, I think. I think that would be perfectly fine.
Now, Game 6 tomorrow is Yoshinobu Yamamoto as pitcher. It's Kevin Gausman, too. They were both great that last game that they pitched on. Was it Game 1?
Game 1, yeah.
Game 2, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Game 2, sorry.
It would be interesting to see if it's one of those battles again. If Yoshinobu does go a complete game again, he'll tie Curt Schilling for the most complete games in a row in a playoff.
So what was the final score of Game 2?
6-1, I want to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
5-1.
5-1, okay. Yeah. 5-1. And all of their runs came in the 7th or something, right?
Well, they had one early on, and then they got two home runs against Gausman, I believe, in the 6th.
Right, so late home runs, basically, for Gausman.
Or 7th, sorry, it was the 7th.
Yeah, so 7th. Okay, so really the reason I'm pointing that out is because I wanted to emphasize that Gausman and Yamamoto were very, very close in terms of the pitching that they were presenting. You know, both ways. So defense-wise, they were playing very similar. I wonder if Toronto goes into this game with just a little bit more confidence.
Oh, totally.
And that helps them kind of get past that. Now, it's going to take a lot, obviously, to be able to hit off of Yamamoto, being that he's such a good pitcher.
He throws 19 different pitches.
Exactly.
Literally, yeah.
I wonder, though, what that looks like on the Blue Jays side of things.
If that's the case, if they're going to be confident, that's fine. Maybe that'll help them, but there's a fine line there. Do not become cocky, because he will blow you away.
That's right.
Yeah.
He will make you look silly. And there are times in that game against him that he did make them look silly.
Yeah. And I mean, you saw in the interviews after the game yesterday where most of the guys were like, job's not done. Job's not done. We got more work to do.
That's right.
We're not going to sit here and celebrate the World Series championship yet. We got one more win. So that's important.
And I think the Blue Jays headspace has to be aware. The Dodgers are thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because I think they said they were down last year, weren't they? And still came back and won the World Series last year. So they have the exact same mindset. The Jays can be confident, like you're saying, but they can't be cocky, because the Dodgers want it just as much as they do.
Now, George Springer potentially could be back tomorrow. I'm of the mindset of, I hope he's at least 95% if he's coming back. That being said, it is the World Series. It's the one win you need. So no matter what, you're going to put your body on the line, right?
But as a DH, I'm not sure I would be comfortable putting George Springer in at anything less than 90%-ish. And take a spot away from a guy who's playing at 100%.
True.
Because if that's all you're going to be doing, and all you're doing is swinging the bat, whereas you can have somebody come in like David Schneider, who maybe can have more of an impact on the game offensively and defensively.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it Schneider that basically replaces him?
Yes. Yeah. So far.
Okay. Well, I mean, home run last game. That being said,
first pitch of the game.
Yeah, first pitch of the game.
They had a. I guess his dad was taking a video. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, he was wearing those Facebook glasses. What are they called?
Is that what it is?
Meta glasses.
Meta glasses.
So it's like a camera built into the glasses. So you hands like this.
What's so funny, it was delayed though, right? He was kind of talking to somebody as the first pitch was, they were kind of warming up or whatever. And then the first pitch comes in and you hear this crack. And he was kind of like, Oh my God.
Oh my God.
No way. And then it's still sailing, right? But it just like went silent for a second.
So funny.
I did have one final point to make on Yamamoto. Something that I heard the other day, yesterday actually, one of my customers was telling me that he read an article about this, and I haven't seen the evidence, but I would assume he wouldn't lie to me, he said that, so after that complete game that Yamamoto pitched, afterward, he cleaned up the dugout.
Hmm.
And that may not be significant, but it's like, I was also told that in Japan, their major leagues there, the fans clean up the stands. They don't hire anybody. The staff doesn't do it.
Wow.
So it must be a culture thing.
I think it's a respect thing, yeah.
And I love that.
I do too. Yeah.
I want to give him and anybody who does that full props. Yeah. Like, good for you. You just went and pitched a complete game, dominant.
Twice.
Yeah.
And then you go and you clean up the dugout. God knows what else. He probably made everybody dinner after too. And then this guy in game three, I don't know if you remember, he went out to the bullpen and started stretching and threw the ball around a little bit in case they needed him to come in.
Yeah.
A day after he just did all that.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuts.
It is. And I think it's a culture thing for sure. And I agree. I think it's cool. Western culture I find is very, it's very kind of opposite of that. It's rather than help others, it's help yourself. And I think that's kind of the mentality of our civilization. But definitely in places like Japan and stuff like that, it just feels like it's very much, you know, help others. And I love that.
Now this possibly goes to game seven. Could you see a combination of maybe Bieber and Yesovich in game seven, if it goes to game seven? I'm not saying it's going to.
I wonder if they put Scherzer in.
See, and I'm not sure that they do, considering how dominant Bieber and Yesovich is last.
Could he not be a reliever, though? Scherzer?
Yeah.
Like, they could have him play tomorrow, technically.
If they put Bieber in, he struggles. Could Yesovich go in after that? And then, put Scherzer, Bassett, whoever else you want to finish off the game.
Bassett's another one I love. I was listening to I was listening to another radio report talking about him and how there were some guy. This one guy in the report was saying, you know, I could see him maybe signing with this team in the offseason, blah blah blah. And they're like, well, actually, I heard that he wants to stay in Toronto.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like that's kind of a culture thing amongst the team where they all just want to stay together.
That's key.
And that's key. You know, that could mean another World Series possibility.
Like the Florida Panthers of the NHL.
Yeah,
absolutely. Right. That's cool. I think that's
amazing.
When you have that culture and guys agreeing upon that, that means they're probably going to be willing to take less money.
That's right.
In ways that maybe they can use that money to improve the team elsewhere, too.
Exactly.
Build like a little legendary status.
Oh, it'd be amazing. It would be amazing.
I think that if they lose game six, everybody will be available for game seven. Yeah. Yesovich will be available. Well, maybe not Bieber because he would have played game six. But they're already saying here, like, could Ohtani make relief appearances in game six and game seven? Absolutely.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Absolutely.
How many innings did he pitch that game where it went to 18? Because he pitched that game, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. He pitched like something like 9 innings, didn't he? Like, it was crazy. Like, they kept him in forever.
I don't remember, yeah.
It might have been 8 innings.
That wasn't him.
I don't think it was Ohtani.
That was Glasnow.
Okay. Well,
Glasnow was the
18. What am I thinking of? It was
Ohtani pitched the game after.
Game four.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, game four. But he pitched forever. It felt like, I was like, are they ever gonna? But I understand it. Like, I understand where their mentality is, especially because Toronto was winning. But it just felt like.
Who's winning the battle right now, Ohtani or Vladdy?
Oh, Vladdy.
I'll disagree. I'll disagree with that, yeah.
The only reason I say Vladdy is because his team's ahead.
Yeah,
and to me, that's all that matters.
One game, though,
but it's still ahead.
But Vladdy Guerrero has never struck out Ohtani. Ohtani has definitely struck out Vladdy Guerrero.
Well, between Ohtani and Yesovich, I think Yesovich is winning that battle. I mean, that was an incredible game last game, for sure.
See him swinging his helmet fly off. I'm like, just bet he didn't fall over with it.
I know.
Does it not look like Ohtani is 12 years old?
He does. Yeah. I will say this about Ohtani. He actually seems like a sweet person.
Yeah,
he probably is.
He's probably like a really, really sweet person. He just has that face where you're just like, he looks like a really nice guy. Yeah, I bet you he's like so friendly to everybody. Yeah. But
Confident.
Like, but also every Blue Jay fan in the summer was like, F that guy, because he didn't sign with our team.
Yeah, that's true.
So I get it.
Walked down Hollywood Boulevard and just...
so if we go from excitement to a little bit of pain. Let's talk about hockey for a second, gentlemen.
Oh.
Speaking of pain, and I don't use that term lightly, because in my team's case, pain is the kind of word of the day. I've got something like 9 players are injured right now for the Canucks. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Leafs are having their share.
But it seems to be happening everywhere. Well, except for the teams, of course, that are winning. But, you know, it just feels like every Canadian team, at least, is dealing with injuries, right?
Well, I'm not so sure. Yeah, I mean, I can't speak on the depth of injuries on other teams. I'm not really 100% sure.
But specifically our teams, and I know, like, Calgary must have their share of some injuries, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Montreal is off to the races having a stellar...
That's true.
So I don't know what their injury situation's like. But I would think that probably... not that bad. And I mean, the Jets are doing well too, so I'm not sure about them. But
part of me believes that the thing that Montreal is experiencing is not something that will stick around. Like, I don't know why. I just feel like there's going to be a moment where they fall to earth a little bit. And maybe, and I mean, I don't know what it is. Like, it just feels like they're not as good as they should be.
Montreal, you say?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Yeah. But they also surprised last year and did quite well.
That's true.
So,
I mean, they've got some good players on their team.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But
and they were bad for a long time. Really long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, at some point, it's kind of like the Senators that way. They've been bad for a long time, too. Buffalo is an enigma. But for the most part, you would think with that many bad seasons, like maybe not consecutively, but within a time period, that eventually you do have to get better.
Yeah.
Well, the Habs have definitely done that. The Sens, I think, are en route. They've got some injury, too. I think Brady Tkachuk's out for a while.
Yeah. For a while.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm looking at the Atlantic real quick, and I mean, there's really only 6 points separating first and last. So, I mean, we know this because it's easy. Yeah. Or, sorry, it's not easy. It's early in the season.
Early, yeah.
But, yeah, it's anything can happen. I know from our perspective, the Leafs traditionally have slow Octobers. But I will say this year is irking me a little bit more in particular than previous years with the way they're playing.
Yeah.
Again, I know injuries are a big factor. They've been a relatively healthy team for a couple of seasons and haven't really battled too much injuries. I would say, and they're getting tested early this year with that. Like, I don't think they've had the same line combinations a single game this year.
In your opinion, what's their biggest weakness, offense or defense?
Right now?
Yeah.
Defense.
Yeah.
Which so is weird because they were like the fourth best team in the league last year.
They're getting scored on a lot, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Goaltending has been very bad.
Yeah, I was going to say Stolarz, that's interesting. Too.
Yeah.
Stolarz has not been good.
I was going to say that's interesting because it's primarily the same defense core that you had last year, right?
It's exactly
barring the injuries that they're facing right now.
Yeah.
Right?
So who's out right now?
Tanev is out.
Riley was out
for a few games. Gotcha. Yeah.
So maybe he's playing with a slight injury or something now that he's back.
There's another.
Or maybe it's just not as serious.
Is there not? What am I thinking? Maybe not.
No.
So they're just really that under.
OEL is OEL playing?
No, he's playing. He plays most of the time in the penalty box. But...
Mm-hmm.
That's
kind of his game
these
days.
Defenseman out right now.
It's really unfortunate, but
Mervis and Myers were playing together, but I think that's when Riley was out.
Right. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. Carlo looks like a pylon.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know. Pylons are at least bright and orange, and, you know, you can notice them.
Buyer's regret right now on that one. Minton probably is going to be good.
Yeah.
So.
Not probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's tricky.
But, I mean, you knew that it was something that had to be done for the playoffs last year. So, in the end, like, you knew you were giving up a good player to get what you thought was a good player.
And term.
Yeah.
At a reduced salary.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Matthews is terrifying me.
What's he at right now for points?
Actually have that here.
Do you? Good. Because I'm actually not sure.
Well, you know, kind of goes with, like, you were making a big deal about the prediction of where he stood on the power rankings before the season started.
Yeah.
He's kind of actually starting to fit that decision in terms of the power rankings.
You are 100%
He is
right.
Around 84th right now, tied in points in the league right now. He's only got 10. He's
10
got
points.
5 goals and 3 assists.
After what, like... 15 games? 12 games?
No, it's 11.
11
games,
yeah. We got John Tavares, William Nylander are all ahead of him as well.
Tavares has been somewhat of a bright spot, right?
Yeah, he's got 6 goals, 8 assists. He's tied around 14th. Nylander was tops at one point. He's fallen down the list to 8th. You know, Marner's doing okay with Vegas right now. I'm not really happy to see that.
Yeah, but we're not going to worry about that.
But... yeah, like the prediction that they had on him, I guess it's accurate right now. Again, he technically has been cold a few times through the season, then he turns it on. His 69-goal season, he actually turned it on right away, so there's the hope that whatever combination starts to work for them, that they figure it out, and he's able to start working off that.
Do you think, this is totally off topic, but do you think that there's a pressure on him to keep up with what Ovechkin's doing?
Oh, no.
You don't think there's somebody saying, like, we want you to get where Ovechkin's getting?
And I was about to say yes, the way I was anticipating the way your sentence was going, and then I changed my mind.
There is a pressure on him, for sure.
There's a pressure on him to perform because now there is no scapegoat.
Yeah.
Nylander doesn't care. You could tell Nylander for the next 80 games or 70 games, however many games are left, that he's the worst player in the league, and it won't matter.
Yeah.
It won't matter to him.
Yeah.
But now, Matthews is the only face. There is no Marner. There is no distractions. It's Matthews. It's his team. Get it done. He's the captain. And he's not. And I don't even mean production.
Mm-hmm.
I just mean he's not showing the ability to drive a line like he had been up until last season, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
So, yes, last year he had injuries. He's supposed to be completely healthy. Whether he is or not, nobody knows, I guess, except him and the doctors.
Yeah.
But he doesn't look like the Matthews that we've been accustomed to seeing for the past seven seasons prior to last year.
Yeah. I mean, there's a combination of things that it could be, obviously, when it comes to being a player of his caliber. Being now that he's a captain, the fact that his regimen of having to talk to the media all the time can probably affect it in some ways too. I remember when, and again, I'm not comparing him to Roberto Luongo, but I remember when Roberto Luongo was the captain of Vancouver for that short stint, it did change the way he played. Because he was less focused on getting himself mentally ready for the game. He had to focus on talking to the media and stuff like that. It did affect his game. So there is something to be said about that. Not to say that that's the reason, but maybe it does play a little part in that. But I mean, he's a professional hockey player. He should be able to get himself into that zone again.
Yep.
Yeah. So I can definitely understand the frustration on Leaf fans' minds when it comes down to it.
Things, when I watch the Toronto Maple Leafs play right now, they can't get inside the proverbial house, as analysts like to conform to, with the section of the ice that they need to get to be successful.
The slot.
The slot, basically. Everything that they're doing, and any time that there's a puck carrier, often whether it be Nylander, Domi, Matthews, I would say those are the primary ones. There's nothing to the inside. They like to go low to high. So they drive the play. They either stop at the blue line and try to make a play, or they dump it down, retrieve the puck, and then get it back out to the defense, try to shoot to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not getting forwards in the goalie's way at all. So everything is being seen. And if there's no outlet or no shot or pass that they think is necessary, they just start cycling.
Yeah.
And they come back up. And then they pass it. And then they come back down this way. And then everything is around. Nothing is through. Nothing is direct to the net, which is what Berube says. Direct. Direct.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
Simplify. Forecheck. Hard. North. South. Well, nobody's listening.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. I listened to two podcasts today, and both of them threw the idea out, is Berube on the hot seat? And my first thought was, come on, he just won the division last year. We're 11 games into the year. No, I don't think he's on the hot seat.
No.
There's something seems to not be right, but I don't think he's on the hot seat. They have shaped this team for him.
Yeah.
That's what they've done. So, I mean, their special teams are atrocious. Savvy, I'm starting to be with you. Like, they might have to look at making a change. Maybe not change the coach, but completely change their approach.
Yeah. Yes.
To their power play, because it's 13.5%.
Dreadful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Now, they get the least amount of chances out of anybody in the league, so I will say that. But 13.5% power play, you know, an eighth of the way into the season is not good.
Yeah. Unless your 5-on-5 is best in the league, you're not going to make it very far throughout the rest of the season. And you look at their defense, it looks lost is the best way to put it. Like I see times where the defensemen are trying to move the puck up out of their zone to somebody, and they throw it to the middle of the ice, and there's nobody there because they're almost like they're expecting somebody to be there, but there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's I don't know where the disconnect is. Is it if it's with who's the new guy again? The new coach
for
Toronto. The new assistant.
Derek Lalonde.
I don't know if there's a disconnect in what he's preaching to those guys or not.
Well, he's not the defense coach, though.
Oh, who's the defense coach?
Mike Van Rijn.
Oh, God, never mind.
Yeah. Come on. I mean, Lalonde takes care of the PK.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's still alignments that there's have to issues. Fall into place. Yep. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yep. See, I know what I'm talking about. but yeah, like it seems like there's a disconnect in terms of communication. Maybe it's like Lalonde and Van Rijn then not talking to each other. And and it just seems that every time the puck's being trying to move out, nobody's where they need to be for that. Last year, like you had, they at least had somebody close by so that if a defense was being pinched, they could just throw it to the side or something.
Yeah.
And there was a forward to pick it up. It's, you don't see that. Everyone's rushing up they're all on the boards. They're not, there's nobody willing to be in the middle. I don't know why they'd be scared to be in the middle considering the size of the team, but there's nobody in the middle to catch the puck and help with moving the puck forward. Everyone's like, pass it to me. I want to score, but I'll play on the outside. You know, not good into the slot like we're talking about. Like it's just not, it's not working. I really want to see Savard go, like you said, that he's kind of getting to that point.
The question is, how often in the middle of a season do you just fire an assistant?
It's not. I don't think it ever happens. Right. I think usually they wait till the end of the season. And usually it's with the head coach, too.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I'd like to talk about my team just a little bit, just because we're running out of time a little bit. But that comparison is really interesting because the Canucks are kind of dealing with similar issues. But the difference between the Leafs and the Canucks is that the Canucks are playing with a very depleted roster.
Yeah.
We've got 9 guys who are injured right now, 9 important players who are injured right now, including their captain, Quinn Hughes. You know, we've got, I'm trying to think here. So they just had Victor Mancini basically brought up from the AHL to play for them. And then he got injured as well.
Yeah.
Who else do we have injured? Do you have a list by any chance in front of you that you could look up?
Definitely get it done.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Just to add fuel to your fire, our group chat just went nuts, and apparently Brock Besser left the game too.
There you go. So another important player gone. So it's late October right now. For the last, I want to say at least week, there's been nothing but talks of making trades to help their roster. This never happens. This never happens this early where a team starts getting desperate for players to help their team.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, you've got injury after injury, especially center depth. Yeah. Philip Hedel is supposed to be their second line center. I have no idea when he's going to be back. Obviously based on the injury, we still don't know officially how bad his injury is. Like, we don't know anything. You know, that's an important one. What else we got?
Connor Garland.
Yeah, Connor Garland just got injured.
Yep.
It doesn't sound like it's serious, but he is going to miss a few games. It's about a week away.
He's not on the road trip.
Yep. He's not on the road trip. Yep. It's a 3-game road trip. They say he's about a week away, so he'll be back hopefully, you know, next week. Hughes should be back soon, too. We don't know specifically when, but as far as I know, he didn't come with them to St. Louis, which is where they are tonight.
Teddy Bluger's out.
Teddy Bluger as well, who's an important penalty killer for them.
Yep.
Did you say Quinn Hughes?
Yeah,
you
Quinn Hughes, yeah.
Jonathan Lekkerimäki.
Lekkerimäki, who is supposed to be...
Lekkerimäki, we already discussed.
Lekkerimäki is supposed to be kind of a Brock Besser-style player. He's got a wicked shot. But, of course, now that he's gone, that's one less weapon you can use. So you're relying a lot on the depth that you have, which is basically the AHL guys that are coming up now, right? So
Nils Höglander.
Yeah, Höglander's been injured since training camp, I believe.
Yep.
He might have hurt himself in a preseason game. I can't remember.
It says October 20th.
Oh, really? No.
Same day as Philip
Hedel. I think that's when they put him on IR.
Oh, maybe, okay.
Yeah,
that could
I think
be,
that's
yeah.
when they officially put him on IR. Yeah.
Pylon Derek Forward.
Yeah, Derek Forward, by the way, you call him Pylon, but he is actually an incredible penalty killer. That's the reason he's on the team. He's really good at killing penalties. And that's an important aspect of the game, and especially with Vancouver right now because they're taking a lot of penalties.
Yeah.
Amongst all the others that are injured there, so there's a lot of injuries that they have on the team. The problem that they have right now is the players who are supposed to be leading the team are not leading the team. They're not scoring. They're not creating offense. They're not doing. The only person who's actually doing really anything is Elias Pettersson, which is great. You're paying him to do that. But Evander Kane, nothing. Like hasn't scored a goal. Hasn't scored a goal. He's taken probably about 5 or 6 penalties, which is, you know, not bad. But he's also, you know, he's also not really scoring. He's not doing anything offensively for this team, which
spending
is like
too much time at the River Rocks.
Yeah, honestly, it's scary. like what you're expecting of this guy, right? And he's just not, he's not bringing it. So the whole team is struggling right now. Canuck fans are frustrated. We're at the mindset. There's even talk. Like, this is, things get crazy when it comes to Twitter and when it comes to like media and talk radio and blah, 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 blah. There's talk of them saying, like, do they just need to blow this team up? It's October. Yeah. Let's relax, yeah, guys. Let's get through the first couple of months before we start freaking out like
all
this.
All it would take is like an 8-2-1 stretch, and we're not even having this conversation.
Exactly. But I mean, that's the thing. You know, the problem is it feels like all hell is breaking loose because of all the injuries, right? Yeah. The moment all of these guys come back, they're going to start playing better hockey. I mean, yeah, that's just given. Yeah. But
we feel the same way in Toronto, yeah, too.
Yeah. But, you know, and it's so common for hockey fans to freak out, for sports fans to freak out. But it is, you know, it kind of reiterates my argument of you do want to build up those wins so that you have something to fall back on when stuff like this happens, yeah, later in the season.
That's right. Generally, that happens later.
Later, right? Yeah. Not in October. Later, yeah. But so hopefully the worst is behind us, yeah, and we'll be able to move forward. We'll see. Hopefully whatever the issue with Brock Besser is, it's not a major one, because he's also an important player on the team. So,
oh, yeah.
Gentlemen, we are about 15 or so minutes left. Let's get into shocked and appalled. I'm really curious. What is shocking and appalling to you today, Mr. Paul?
Mr. Me. Well, again, I don't delve always too much into politics, but I do at least want to kind of touch upon the Ontario Premier and that ad campaign that he did,
yes,
that kind of ruined trade negotiations for Canada and with Trump. It's appalling in the fact that he's not wrong in doing what he did, because, you know, I think Trump kind of needs to be jabbed a little bit in terms of his ego. However, not on that kind of scale, and not to the point where, you know, we're already struggling economically as a country, and now we're
we're not going to get into politics at all. But I'm going to argue one fact with that, and that the argument that I have is that I think either way, it wasn't going to get better.
Probably
with what Trump is doing. So
I agree.
The fact that he's added another 10% tariff is not going to change things.
No.
and the message there is not specifically an attack on Trump, more so as it is a message to the American people,
yeah,
to understand what they're dealing with. Again, we're not going to sit here and,
nope,
say one side is better than the other and anything like that. But yeah, it's definitely
just the timing.
I think
what
the shocking part
with
is more shocking than it is appalling for me anyway. In that he retaliated the way he did in such a childish way.
Yeah.
But I know, I understand who we're talking about, but it's just, it's, you know, politics is no longer a grown man's game, it feels like. It feels like a child's game at this point.
It's become woke.
Yeah. Well, I would actually disagree. I think it's the opposite. But anyway. Anyway, what else you got, Paul?
Beyond that. Yeah, the San Jose Sharks, in one of their games down obviously in the States there, had put up on their billboard, or on their, not their billboard, sorry, the
Jumbotron?
Jumbotron. San Jose Sharks love ice. Go get them, boys.
Oh, love ice? What?
Yeah.
When did they do this?
I don't think it has the date here.
I didn't hear about that.
It was a 3-0 loss to the Penguins.
In passing, I didn't really connect the dots.
Yeah. Did somebody lose their job over that? Do you know? Or
Hasn't said too much about it, but the San Jose Sharks did issue an apology for it on the 18th of October. But yeah, they put it on their Jumbotron. The San Jose Shark fans love ice. Go get them, boys. Like a little bit classless.
Did it say San Jose Shark fans love ice?
Yes.
I wonder if it was one of those things where people can say a message on the Jumbotron, whatever they want.
No, there's no.
You
know?
No,
they have to screen
that. That would have to be screened.
Unless
for sure
the person who screened it didn't put two and two together.
Well, yeah. There you go. In that case, somebody probably did lose their job.
Yeah.
You'd think that all of that would have to be produced, programmed,
yeah,
and like,
you would think.
I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
Like, I understand what's going on with, like, why they have,
yeah,
ice set up the way they do down the States, but especially as a sports organization, you do kind of have to somewhat remain neutral.
Oh, yeah. Like, you're in the public eye in any way.
Exactly.
You need to be neutral, because the last thing you want to do is piss off some side.
Yeah.
And then now you've all of a sudden got this reputation of whatever, and now the people start ganging up on you, right?
Yeah, and like you're already not a good team to begin with, so to like get lower in the eye, lower in the eyes of the rest of the people in the country. Yeah.
Wow, I feel like I did hear about that now that I think about it, but like I think I'm the same as you. I never put two and two together. I just didn't think anything of it. But that's crazy that they would have that on their screen.
Yeah, it's a bit unclassy to say the least. So not that I would lose respect for any hockey team unless they were really terrible in some way, but yeah, it kind of lowers my respect for them in that regards. They did issue the apology. Hopefully they build their reputation back up.
You know what they always say, ignorance is bliss.
I have to look at the Toronto Raptors as kind of shocking to start off the season like killing the first team they played. They've own four since, and they look like a shell of a team compared to the team that started the regular season.
That's true. Yeah, I remember thinking they were going to be a good team after that. Even the preseason, I thought they played well. That game in Vancouver, they played well. They kept up with Dallas, and it was Dallas they played, right? Yeah, kept up with them, and I thought, oh, they're going to be a good team this year. And then
Ingram looks like Durant light. He's looking good.
Yeah,
And I'm glad that they got him signed long term. But the team defense and the motivation behind Radivojevic, I don't know, maybe he's not the right guy for the job. But like, I wouldn't be surprised to see him lose his job if they keep going on kind of a low-end streak like this for the next, say, 10, 15 games.
Yeah.
I found it shocking considering, like I said, at the start of the season that they had.
I haven't really paid attention to the Raptors at all, haven't had the time. But have they... That guy they drafted this year, is he playing on the team?
He started
Boyles, is it?
Colin Murray Boyles.
Boyle, yeah, right. Murray Boyles, yes, hyphenated, that's right, yeah.
He started last game. He had 13 points. He is looking good. He actually had the matchup against Durant.
I was going to say, that's my point, but they drafted him for his defense, mm-hmm. mostly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, as kind of a defensive specialist. So I wondered if he had been playing, because you said they've been awful. I just wondered if he was playing, getting an opportunity.
Now Poeltl's been out because he's got an injury, but you know, against the Rockets, and like I said, Murray Boyles look good. But yeah, like I said, I think they've got the pieces to be a good team. I think it's a head thing now, and if Radivojevic isn't the guy, like I don't know who the next coach could be, but they've got to find somebody.
Chauncey Billups.
Yeah.
Steve Nash is still available.
It's going to be out of the game for a while.
That's a mic drop for those of you who didn't know what he was doing there. What else is shocking and appalling?
Steve Nash should be good.
Yeah, that's what I said. Steve Nash is still available.
Kind of surprising to me. Like I've actually always been a big Katy Perry fan
and Trudeau,
for the last few years. Good singer, I thought. She's great with her fans and so on. I don't know what she's doing with the deadbeat like Justin Trudeau, but you know.
You know, she's actually been catching a lot of heat lately. Before her relationship with Trudeau, she was catching a lot of heat for I don't really know what for. People were kind of on
they weren't really happy about her and Orlando Bloom's breakup as far as
But I don't think that was related to it. I think it had something to do with the way she was performing.
Oh.
I think it had something to do with the sort of, I don't know, like this, the she's like dancing, but she's not dancing. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Maybe she's burnt out.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have to do some more research
she's
on it.
She's got spaceship leg.
It's like, well, it's like, have you ever seen like an artist go on stage and perform and they do a dance that's not really a dance, they're just sort of dancing?
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, what are you doing here? Like, you know, dance or don't
almost
dance.
Like fans are disappointed because they're not getting the show
they're not getting
for?
Their money's worth or
right,
something.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So I think that's what she's been catching flack
well,
for.
Well, age is probably maybe catching up with
yeah,
her.
Yeah, I wouldn't
too,
be,
right?
I mean, she's not old. Like, she's younger than us, but,
not
you
younger
know,
than me.
She
just turned 40.
40. Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. You're not quite 40 yet.
And I say deadbeat about Trudeau because I'm not a fan of him. But, you know, like I said...
I'm a big fan of him now.
Yeah.
Way to go!
Well, she sees
Katy Perry's
in him, right? So.
She's been practicing her French. That's what she's been focusing on.
And lastly, to be honest, this is to go kind of with Halloween. Kind of shocking. There was a lady down in Kentucky, down in the States there. She ordered a box of medication. Instead of getting her medication, you know, ready to count the pills, she opens up and starts having to count fingers and body parts that were inside of her her box. And this is right around Halloween.
That sounds like a made-up story, doesn't it?
Did they just ship it
to the wrong address?
They must have. It's got sources, but it was, yeah, Wednesday night that happened.
I was waiting for you to say a man in Florida, because that's usually how those stories start. But, wow.
Yeah, arms, fingers, yeah. So instead of being able to count her bills, she had to count body parts instead.
Jeez, wow.
She sell them on the black market and make more?
Who knows?
I'm sure she probably screamed or something. Like, I would have freaked out, too.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't scream, but I'd freak out. I'd be like, okay, what's
and
this box?
I would have grabbed one of the fingers and started counting the pills.
The problem was there were no pills.
You're right.
It was a mix-up, I guess, with the airline. And
I would think a mix-up, yeah.
Because the coroner, I guess, in Christian County there, he said it was intended for medical training purposes, but I guess they got the boxes mixed up. So
yeah.
You have all these students probably being like, those aren't fingers.
Yeah.
Because I wonder who had a hand in that one.
probably a few people. or a finger or two, anyway. But no, that's crazy. That's a crazy story. Crazy. I don't know what I would do if I came across a bunch of fingers and hands.
Does that fall into the shocked or appalling category?
Yeah, probably both.
Yeah, I would be appalled and shocked. Yeah, absolutely.
That's appalling.
Now, the question I have, and this might not be, you might find this weird, but the question I have is, I wonder how heavy that box was.
Yeah, she must have thought she was getting a lot of pills.
With all those body parts? Because, I mean, an arm, that's not light.
No.
Right? Anyway.
Wow. I did not expect that to come up.
I have to commend you, my friend. I have to commend you. You stuck out the whole episode with that wig on.
Could you stop talking and get it over with?
And I didn't see you itch at all.
Oh, I've been itching.
Oh, yeah.
I've been itching a bit.
I'll admit it, Seth.
I've even been twirling a little bit, too.
He's like, maybe I'll grow my hair out.
Yeah. Nah.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you for another wonderful episode. We had a lot to talk about, and I mean, we always have more to talk about when the episode's done. That's why we've been talking about the Blue Jays for the past, what, 4 or 5 episodes now?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's worth it because here we are, one day away from a possible World Series championship. So it's pretty exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go Jays go.
Go Jays go. And thank you everyone for watching this episode. If you guys have some comments or anything you want to talk to us about, please reach out to us on our social media. We are everywhere, and I mean everywhere, at the Puck N Pod. That's the Puck N Pod. On Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you name it, we're there. Reach out to us. Let us know how you feel. Let us know if you want to talk about any episode, anything in the episode. We'll do that for you as well. And of course, you can see us on YouTube or on Rogers TV. Thanks again, Rogers, for broadcasting our podcast. And once again, for the Puck and Pod, my name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
We'll see you guys on the next one.